Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. We're going to begin our show today by taking a look at the state and national forest land that we have here in Wisconsin. I'm really pleased to have Candace Andrews with us. Candy is the author of Beyond the Trees, Stories of Wisconsin Forests, a wonderful book, and I'm really glad to have her with us today. As you drive by those state forests, well, along the road, it looks like, well, there's another bunch of trees there, but really there are a lot of differences to the many state forests that we have, and she's done a wonderful job of giving us the history and the background on these forests. There's some beautiful photography and sort of the nuts and bolts as well as the history of these forests. You'll find out where to go and what to do while you're there visiting them. You may have a favorite state forest, or you may have some questions about where to go and what to see when you get there to those state forests, and I hope you'll join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org, or even post on our Facebook page. We've already got some nice posts. Beautiful picture of the American Legion State Forest near Boulder Junction from one of our listeners. Take a look at that on the Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show, and you can do that. Candy Andrews, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
What a great job you had. You get to go around to all those forests.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And I hadn't been to a lot of them before I went to research this book. So it was fun for me.
Yeah. How many do we have?
Well, that's kind of an interesting question, and I guess it depends how you count. I would say that there's 10 state forests, and then, of course, we have our huge national forests, yeah, the Shawamagon. But in the book, I divided that up into three sections, and, you know, it depends. If you count the Kettle Moraines as one, there's 10 state and our big national one.
Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit more about how you've divided the book up or how you've organized the book.
Well, most of our state forests have one chapter. Like I said, I did divide up the Kettle Moraines into the northern and southern units, and then the Shawamagon. You know, the foresters refer to the Shawamagon basically as the land bases. So you have the Nicolet land base, and you have the Shawamagon land base, and then within the Shawamagon land base, you have like three separate little units that aren't contiguous. So I took two of the smaller units and then the Nicolet and sort of divided it up like that. It was just a matter of territory.
Yeah, and some people might say, well, state forest, is that a state park? What's the difference between a state forest and a state park?
You know, as far as I know, it's how they were organized. If the land was organized under the state forestry laws, then it became a state forest. Otherwise, it became a state park under those kind of laws. But it is interesting that some of the forests really don't appear to be forests, but yet because they are organized under the forestry laws, that's what their name says.
And the forests are the state forests are located pretty much around the state. I mean, we've got one smack in the middle of our most densely populated area of the state.
Right. There's one right in the center of Milwaukee. That's Havenwood State Forest. And I think most people would be surprised to find it there. But then we have really remote ones, some in northern Wisconsin. We have beachy forests, you know, out on Lake Michigan. And so they really do have different personalities.
Oh, they have great personality and interesting histories. I love your writing on the histories in the background on these forests. Havenwood, for example, had a prison. It was there was a prison on that property at one point.
Right, there was a prison. There was also a Nike missile base there. So pretty interesting stuff.
The forest that intrigued me, one of the forests that intrigued me the most was the, and I'm forgetting, I'm blanking on the name suddenly, but the Cooley Experimental State Forest. That's the one I was thinking of, because that's one I haven't visited. I visited almost all of them, but I haven't visited that one. And that's the only one with experimental in the name. Tell us, tell our listeners where it's located and give us some information on the experimental part of it.
Yeah, it, you know, it's hard to find. So I'm not sure I can explain exactly how to get there, but
I remember you writing about that.
Yeah, it in fact it was the forest that I say I don't think it wanted me to find it. I knew the general area there, you know, somewhere up there sort of northwestern Wisconsin. I had to drive back and forth down one of the highways to try to find it. And finally, you know, there's no big sign like most of our forests have. And there, after about the fifth attempt to try to find it, I found this sign kind of in the underbrush. And then going into it, I only saw one other group of people on horseback that passed me through the whole thing. But as far as experimental, it's the state forest where if a group, let's say university students, want to do some research on different types of trees that grow in different types of soils, or they have some kind of a project, that's the place where they could do it and get a little bit of land to conduct their experiments.
And they are working, as I think you mentioned, they're working on the signage.
That's what I'm told. That's what I'm told. But, you know, if you talk to the superintendent, I think he likes his quiet forest.
But it's one, as you say, it's one of those places. And there are some interesting features in that forest. I mean, it's not all, you don't see test plots all over the place for the research that's going on. Tell us a little more about it.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't probably even notice that, but it's an interesting forest. There's a lot of wildlife there, yet there's virtually no permanent water on that forest, which is in great contrast to, let's say, the Peshtigo, which is almost all water. It's a very quiet forest. There's you can hike, and like I said, I felt like I was hiking uphill because it's in that great driftless region, you know, for almost the whole time. And I thought, well, eventually I've got to get to the top of this hill and go back down. But it never seemed that I got to the other side. So, but if you really like remote forests and a place to get away from everything, that's a great place to go.
Yeah. Well, let's take some questions. You can join in again with your question or comment at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call, shoot us an email with a question, or post on our Facebook page. And Betsy in River Falls, we go to you now. Thank you very much for calling.
Oh, thank you. And I'm not trying to be a rabble-rouser. I've been going to Minocqua area. I'm 69. I've been going since I was a baby. My grandfather built a cabin up there, and I go up to the Governor Knowles State Forest north of Grantsburg. I love it. I just love it. Considering the government that we have currently, are there any dangers from our governmental actions? You know, I'm a liberal. Can our current governor just decide that this huge section of the forest should be chopped down to make jobs? I'm really concerned about this. I'm not trying to be a stinker.
No.
You know, I think that's one of the greatest threats, you know, to our forest. If someone asked me what would be the things that you'd say you're worried about, and one would be, of course, climate change, because, you know, that's going to make a big difference in what trees, you know, are moving south and which ones are moving north. And the other thing is legislation. I mean, I can't really speak to what's going to happen in the future, but I think other than trying to reduce our carbon footprint on the planet, I think the best thing we could do for our forests is just to support legislation, you know, that's going to keep them protected for all of us to enjoy.
So we really don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know.
But no. Something could happen. Eventually.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And so it is, it's wise to, you know, keep alert and keep watching what our legislators are doing and, vote for your forests.
We have Jennifer in Leona, Wisconsin, up next with a comment or question. Hi, Jen.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Great. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thanks for having me. Well, I just love your show so much and love the topic, too, and it's nice to meet you all over the phone. I'm from Leona, Wisconsin, and our family actually was one of the oldest logging families up there with Connor Forest Industries and Nicolay Hardwoods, so we've been up there for a long time, but have done selective cutting, of course, too. And while we go through the forest, I've noticed that there would be, like, some random big boulders in the forest. And I'm wondering if those were from, because there used to be an old mountain range that was higher than the Rockies there before the glaciers came along. And I'm wondering if those rocks were part of the big mountains that used to be there a long time ago in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I think you're referring to the Pinoki Range, and that was one of the largest. I think it was even higher than the Swiss Alps, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, those big boulders, typically when you see them in the forest, you know, they were carried there by the glaciers. And when you look at them, you realize that probably nothing else could move them because they're so huge. So you're probably seeing some of those erratics is what they call in the forest. So quite possibly, you know, I'd say probably those big boulders you're seeing were dropped by the glaciers. And you're right, there is that big range there. And I do talk about that a little bit in the book.
Oh, great. Well, I can't wait to buy your book. And thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. That's kind of the fun part about visiting these forests is those surprises that, you know, suddenly here's a huge boulder or here's a really interesting geological pattern that's developed.
Right. You know, I've been walking through forests and I'll see this huge boulder that you'd swear was a big ship sailing. It's shaped like, you know, one of the old schooners or something. But those are really fun. And, you know, there's, of course, Castle Rock and the Black River State Forest, which is just amazing. And all kinds of, you know, ridges. And, you know, you get around sort of the Dells area and we all know what great rock formations they have there. So we've got some really beautiful landscapes here in the state.
Yeah, the Black River has some absolutely outstanding formations. Plus, I caught a really big walleye there one time.
Yep, another great thing.
That I will never forget, as a matter of fact. Well, Mike is probably, we've got some photos up on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. One of the Nicolet National Forest, another of couple of the Nicolet National Forest, and one of the Northern Highland American Legion State Forest near Boulder Junction. The beautiful, beautiful places. And
right.
you visited at all times of the year, didn't you? I mean, not every one, but
right.
I know you visited one in winter for sure. And
yeah, I tried to take a mix. So I'd visit a couple in winter and then, you know, a few in each of the seasons. And I think that kind of, you know, gave the book
another dimension.
Another dimension that you could see that, you know, forests aren't just for spring and summer and hiking and those types of things. There's all kinds of things to do, you know, throughout all of the seasons in Wisconsin.
We are visiting today with Candy Andrews. She is the author of Beyond the Trees, Stories of Wisconsin Forests. Question or comment for her, have you got a favorite state forest or national forest here in the state you like to visit or have a question about it, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening in as we talk about the state forests and state national forests of Wisconsin. Candy Andrews has written a wonderful book giving us the history, the background on these forests, and telling us about their current state as well, and how you can visit and where to visit once you get there. So call in again with your phone at 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to David in Verona. David, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. My wife and I recently went over to Point Beach State Park, or Point State, you know, Point Beach State Forest, I'm sorry, just north of Manitowoc and Two Rivers, and it was lovely, beautiful park, even though it's a state forest. My question, there's a lighthouse there, and we don't go just for lighthouses, but when you see one along Lake Michigan, you'd like to scamper up, take a peek. For some reason, that one was not available to the public, except I think on special tours. Is that because it's a working lighthouse? Is that because it's run by the federal government, not by the state? Just any information on that lighthouse and the history of that state forest would be terrific. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I do talk about that lighthouse in the Point Beach chapter. You know, I'm not as far as tours, I'm not sure about that.
I think it's a question of economics.
Yeah, and I did visit in winter.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, it wasn't open for tours then. Yeah, I'm not sure about that, to tell you the truth.
Tell us a little about the history, though. He was interested as well in the background on that particular forest.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the forests that I think originally was considered as being a state park, but it was organized under the forestry law, so it did become Point Beach State Forest. There's some great history there. I was talking to two gentlemen there who actually work at the Washington House, which is a museum in Two Rivers, and both of their families had land within Point Beach State Forest, and actually one of them sold some of his family's land to become part of the forest. And they talked about the Peshtigo fire and the fire that actually raged through there, where they had to bury their things. His grandparents had to bury their things under the ground just to keep them safe from the fire. And there was one of the bigger tanning industries there. So there's a lot of great history there.
There is a lot of great history there. And I thank you very much for that call, David. Appreciate it very much. Clarence in Grant County, you are next. Hi, Clarence.
Hi. I wonder if I could answer this question for you, please. Can I ride my horse in any Wisconsin state park or forest?
Yes, you can. There are quite a few of the forests have horse riding trails. In fact, when I mentioned that group in the Cooley Experimental State Forest, that was a group that was on horseback. So there's quite a few forests that have...
Will you tell me what number I could call to get further information?
You know, I think the best thing to do would be to go onto the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources website.
Wait, Wisconsin Department of what, please?
Of Natural Resources.
Oh, Natural Resources, okay.
Right. And you can find a list of all the forests there, and then if you click on the name of the forest, it'll give you lots of information.
I haven't got a computer. I don't have a computer. Is there a telephone number I could call?
There's an 800 number you could call, or, you know, another way to do it might be to go to the library.
Well, I can't work a computer. I'm an old guy, and I can't write.
Yeah, but the librarian would help you with it.
Isn't there a telephone number?
There probably is, and if you have a phone book, you can look in the front part of the phone book under government agencies, and you'll find the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources listed there under government agencies, and there'll be an 800 number that you can call.
I know how to do that. But the Wisconsin
Department of
Natural Resources.
Correct.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Peter in Forest County, we turn to you next. Hi, Peter.
Hi. What a wonderful conversation. I just appreciate we live up behind the Pine Curtain north of Highway 20, so it's awfully nice to hear people focusing on the state forests. They really are a wonderful asset to the state. In Forest County, we're 75% state, county, and federal, but we only have 9 federal campgrounds. It seems to be kind of a disconnect in terms of promoting tourism and so forth. And I can't wait to read the book, but I was just curious as to why it is that there just seems to be this sort of lack of effort to promote tourism, in and around the national forest now that they're not cutting any timber.
I happen to think personally that, you know, Wisconsin is one of the gems of the country. You know, we might not have those great mountain landscapes and the ocean shores, but, you know, we've got so many protected areas. In fact, you know, it's surprising, but I think about 46% of our state is still in forested lands, and that's a hefty amount. So I think, you know, in a way, we are sort of hidden, like you say. You know, why aren't there more efforts to, you know, promote our beautiful state? But I think it's coming, you know, and hopefully a book like this will help in that regard. But, you know, you're right. I do think Wisconsin's just a gem, and I think almost everybody should see it. And I think a great place to start is our forest, because we still have these kind of wild and remote areas. And in some places, you can even see, you know, what our state looked like, you know, before all of us came here. So that's pretty amazing.
And again, the history on so many of them is so interesting. The Brule River State Forest, you're talking about remote and wild. The Brule River State Forest has some wildness to it. And just on the history of that, I think you wrote part of that property, or the original part, might have been donated by the Weyerhaeuser family, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it's, you know, too, and you were talking about seeing these formations. You know, in Wisconsin, in the, I was just thinking about the northern section of the Kettle Moraine State Forest, you can see the effects, you know, of the glacier, that the Wisconsin episode of the last glacial maxima, which was 10,000 years ago. And this is one of the few places in the nation that you can see the effects of the glacier still protected. In many areas, you know, they've either become gravel pits or they've become paved over with strip malls. So we're pretty lucky. And like you say, in the Brule too, you know, there's some great history. Just about the stories, you know, the people too. We often forget that we're part of nature too. And a lot of the personalities of these forests come through in the stories of the people in the book.
I love the stories of the people. You found some interesting characters.
There are some great characters. I mean, there's some river guides, and one of my favorite is Manny Stein, who was a former forest fire tower lookout in the Shawmagon, and I got to talk to him, and he had a great story about an encyclopedia salesman who knocked on the door of his house one day and talked to his wife, and he wanted to sell them a set of encyclopedias, and his wife said, well, the only way you're going to sell this set to our family is if you go and talk to my husband, and he happens to be up in a fire tower lookout right now. So the guy asked where the tower was, and he actually went out there and he loaded some encyclopedias up in a little backpack he had, and he actually climbed.
And those are scary to
yes,
climb.
Yes, those are terribly scary to climb. And he climbed up there, and Manny said, I think the guy just wanted to take a look around up there. But he said after that, he did have to buy the set of encyclopedias.
Yeah, he bought the set. I can recall, this is really early in my career. I was doing some interviews in the Spooner area. And then I thought, I've got the bright idea of going and interviewing somebody in one of the fire towers. And I got to the bottom of that tower and I looked up and it was kind of windy. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't really need this interview carrying this big tape recorder up.
Right. And Manny says, too, that, you know, probably more than half of the people who applied, you know, had to back out because they got halfway up the tower and they realized it wasn't for him. And the wind that goes through that little cab up there, you know, he describes that. That's pretty eerie.
Yeah, it's interesting. Jason and Madison, on to you now. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Larry. I got a comment and a question, I guess.
Okay.
I want to just say that, you know, I took my first backpacking and camping trip just a couple of weeks ago, actually, in the Shawmagon National Forest in the Taylor County area along the Ice Age Trail, and it was just spectacular, and I'm hooked. I'm going to do it a lot more. So it's just, you know, the national forests that we have are just wonderful in this state. But my question is, I get up there in that area, and, you know, a lot of people own homes and cabins in the national forest. And I'm wondering how is that something that happens often where people can buy homes in the national forest, or is that just kind of where they grandfathered in?
Yeah, what came first here?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, there are a lot of homes in the national forest, but... you know, those were there.
Yeah.
And they can sell them. As far as I know, though, there's no new building of homes there. And I think, you know, when those homes do come up for sale, if the state or the, you know, if it's in the national forest, if they have the money and they can purchase it, they try to.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, they were all there kind of
prior
yeah. to. And many of them, and frankly, many have gone back. I mean, many have been purchased over the years.
Right. And you know, new sections are, you know, forests aren't static either. New sections
right.
are added to them. So when they buy some land, oftentimes, you know, it formerly had homes on it.
Ray and Pigeon Falls, on to you now. Hi, Ray.
Hey, good morning, and thank you very much for the show. It's very informative. Quick question for Candy and her research. Did she find what I consider one of Wisconsin's natural wonders, and that is where it's either in Northern Highland or Shawmagon, where the water actually flows from the south to the north? It's called the Great Divide.
You know, yes. Actually, I do remember, you know, and there is section in there about the Great Divide. So, yeah, I did come across that. That's just one of those, points out one of those other interesting things that you find out about the forest. And I do like to say, you know, I'm not really a geologist or a naturalist or a botanist, but, you know, I'm kind of like everyone else. I enjoy a good story. And so there is something about that in the one of that, in that chapter.
Yeah, there's a lot of lore that comes with that. And my son and I were up in the woods and he said, "Hey Dad, how did the Indians know this?" I'm like, "I don't know."
Well, they spent a lot of time there and they lived there and they were, like anybody who lives in the outdoors, were probably pretty observant and watched and learned. Thanks, Ray, for calling. Appreciate it very much. Dave in Augusta, it's your turn. Hi, Dave.
Hi, good morning. Like the show. I've got a place in Winter, Wisconsin. It's near the headwaters of the Chippewa River, the East Fork of that. And what I like to do is to go up in part of the Shwagamigan that's up there, and you could actually walk less than a half mile and come across three or four different terrains. One might be a grass meadow filled with trillium in about the middle of May. You could walk about another 50 to 100 yards and be in a stand of white pine trees. And then right to the south of that is a big area filled with huge ferns. And the temperature change from one spot
to the next, yeah,
to the next is really impressive how cool it can be just by walking a few hundred yards. It's like a 15-degree change in temperature. And I hope that these are around forever.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, one of my favorite places in the forest is those big ferns. You know, when you get into a place where you've got those big understory ferns and then you've got those tall trees over them, that's, you're right, it is. It's very cool in there. And sometimes you're, you know, taking your jacket off and putting it back on and then taking it off when you get into a little clearing. And it's yeah, it's a great, you never know what you're going to find.
No, you certainly don't. And it's one of the real attractions of the state forest. Anthony in Green Bay, we're on to you. Hi, Anthony. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was listening to the show today, and I was just so interested in all the different state parks that Candy was talking about. What interested me so much is I was originally born in Manitowoc, so I would bike out to Point Beach so often and just take a two-person backpack tent and go out there and pay the fee and camp out there. But my aunt and uncle owned a resort, actually two resorts up in the Boulder Junction, Monaco area. So I was able to do the same thing at the campground and the state park she was talking about up there as well. And the difference in wildlife between the two was just amazing. You know, you go up north and you'd look at the bears and the deer and the larger animals, and down near Manitowoc, you get to see the birds if you're a bird watcher and all the different water creatures that were available there. I was wondering, you know, what your guest had to say about something like that, the different animals that, you know, she noticed.
All right.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You know, talking about personalities of the forest, that gives them each kind of a distinct character as well. You know, of course, up in the Shawmagon, we've got, you know, an elk herd. And, you know, you're not going to find that down south. But mm-hmm. there's, you know, big megafauna. And then, like you say, we have, you know, everything from a special kind of the Heinz Emerald dragonfly, you know, down to the very small. So, yeah, you know, and because our forests do have these unique personalities, like all water, hardly any water, there's some that are beachy, there's some that are more like a prairie. We do have all kinds of different, you know, animals that inhabit these different habitats.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And we have open lines we can get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. We would love to hear from you. What about logging? We've had one person who's concerned about the logging that takes place in some of the state forests. American Legion Forest was mentioned. because of the potential damage that it could do, and then taking out the trees. Any comments on that?
You know, I was surprised to find this out, but we actually now have more forest land than at any time since we started taking inventories in 1936. And, you know, if you go up north and you see some of those big logging trucks, you know, you wonder how that's possible. So I did do a little research into that, and here's sort of the math, the way I understand it. Of every 1,000 live trees over 10 feet tall in Wisconsin this year, 80 will die from natural causes such as weather, insect damage, or crowding, or disease, but only 4 will be harvested by loggers. But mm-hmm. Now we got to add to this, 98 new trees will grow past the 10-foot mark during the year. So therefore, in Wisconsin, our annual wood growth exceeds harvest for most species. So yeah, I thought that was pretty amazing. And like I say, we're pretty lucky. About 46% of our land is still in forests. So we're doing well.
And a caller from Madison wanted to know if you had a sense of, or any of the people you talked to discussed invasive plants or animals that may be a threat to the forest. I was trying to remember if you had some of that in your book or not.
I talked to some of the foresters where there were active harvests going on, and a lot of times those places where harvesting takes place is because maybe something got in, oak wilt or something that has damaged the trees. And then I think we do practice sustainable forestry here, and they have a good sense of, you know, where they need to cut the trees to sort of stop disease. And if they're going to do a harvest, there's probably a pretty good reason for it. So they do watch those things quite closely.
Andy in Price County, on to you now. Hi, Andy.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy your show.
Thanks.
I've been a contractor doing tree planting and TSI work all across these forests in northern Wisconsin. And I'd emphasize what a valuable asset it is, and how I'm impressed when I do contracting with the DNR and other landowners that the multiple use aspect of what they have to handle. With the forest land, you know, it really is a high demand, and it really takes a serious effort to accommodate all the interests that are involved.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, we did some work about almost 40 years ago up in the Park Falls district, and Manny Stein was the COR on our contract back then.
Oh, wonderful.
But that was quite a while ago.
Thanks, Andy, for calling and commenting. You know, they really is a balancing act here when you think about the various uses that can be made of the state forests.
Right, and they're different. And I know every forest has a master plan, and they do visit them, within their time period. For instance, if it's a 10-year plan, they go back and do that. And I know, for instance, just talking about the different uses in the Northern Highland American Legion State Forest, it's a very high-energy forest. You know, that's kind of that forest personality. And they have bike tracks and, you know, horse tracks and hiking trails and ATV trails. And there's a lot going on in that forest. And then again, like you go to a forest such as Cooley, and they want it to be quiet. No motorized vehicles are allowed. It's horse trails and hiking, you know. So the foresters and the committees that get together, they do think about all those uses of the forest and what they want to put that forest to. How they want people to use it. One of the chapters of the Kettle Moraines, I talk with a person who his job was to maintain the trails, and he talks about what he had to do to keep those trails from eroding what was there after ATVs came in. So, yeah, there's a lot of thought that goes into that.
Absolutely. We have Marilla in Green Bay up next. Hi, Marilla.
Hi. I have a story to share about climbing the tower. We camped a lot, and we climbed the tower. And when I was 40, I said, you know what? I don't have to do this anymore. I'm not going up until I'm 80. So when I was 80, we went up there, and I had a granddaughter who was like 10 or 11. she was so excited. She was telling everybody, my grandma's 80 and she's going to climb the tower. And she went up first and a whole bunch of people were all waiting for me and welcomed me. It was just a wonderful day.
Oh, that's a great story. Yeah. And Marilla is talking about the tower at Peninsula State Park, which I have climbed. And it's a little bit of a climb. I can tell you that for sure. And I'm, boy, I hope I can do that when I'm 80 years old, Marilla. Thank you so much.
My hat's off to you.
Thank you so much for calling and sharing that. And we did talk about Haven Woods right in the beginning, but we had a volunteer from Haven Woods Urban State Forest in Milwaukee, wants people to know about it. It's one of the best kept secrets in Milwaukee, right in the city. What is it? 200, how many acres? 250, somewhere around there?
Yeah, that sounds right. I know it's I don't want to say small, but it's
240
it's just,
acres.
Yeah, it's a really cool forest. Like I said, right in the middle. It's very accessible. And if you haven't been hiking in forests and you want to sort of get your toe wet, that's a great place to go and you know, start to explore.
Absolutely. And Bob in West Salem, on to you. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I moved here in 1956 in West Salem, and I had a real good friend that worked for the USDA, and he worked on the Cooley Experimental Forest. And what he was doing was measuring some amount of the water that fell, the rainfall, and how that water was distributed as it flowed around wherever it went. They were measuring weirs and other things like that. I don't remember all of it, but that was what he was doing. That was the experimental part of that forest.
Yeah, that's a great story. Yep. Yeah,
that's a good example of the kind of research that could be done there.
Right, and it almost parallels exactly like some of the research I talk about in the book there too, where they were studying water patterns, and you know, Minnesota is interested in the studies there too.
Well, I tell you what, you've written a very, very interesting book here, Candy, and it must have been a lot of fun to write. And I have to say, I have not mentioned the photography, but the photography in here is spectacular.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, a lot of those photos were taken by my husband, but you mentioned that beautiful shot of the Northern Highland on the Facebook page. And yeah, that was taken by actually another photographer in the book, Bob Leggett.
Yeah, it's a wonderful book, and I thank you so much for coming in today and talking with us about, aren't those forests? You have a favorite one, by the way? Did you pick a favorite forest?
You know, that's such a hard question, and like I said, it's like choosing a favorite child. You know, if you ask me one day, I'd say one forest, and you ask me tomorrow, there'd probably be a different one.
Very diplomatic answer to that, Candy. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
It was a lot of fun. Candace, I've been calling her Candy, but her official name is Candace Andrews, and her book is Beyond the Trees, Stories of Wisconsin Forests, and it's published by Wisconsin Historical Society Press as well. It's a great press, and so
right.
It's a very high-quality book. It's great to have her with us today, and you should get out there and take a look at our state forests. Travel around, hike through them, experience them. And her book would certainly help you do that. Beyond the Trees, Stories of Wisconsin Forests. Coming up, we're going to take a look at Wisconsin's bat population and get an update on it with Dave Riddell, bat ecologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.